Our first disc style is the D style. Whether it's a family crisis, a corporate takeover, or just figuring out how to split a restaurant tab, it makes no difference. D's dive in headfirst as if they and they alone have the answer. We all know D's and admire them, even as we cringe. Awesome at their best, insensitive at their worst. They are the dominant driving people we often think of as natural leaders. They're not shy, and in most cases, they're not modest. They often make good football coaches, army generals, dictators. Challenge-oriented and decisive, they're propelled by an inner need to be in charge. The key to a good life for them is achieving, overcoming obstacles, and accomplishing things. Now, what if Michelangelo had been a D? Here's how he probably would have gone about painting his famous frescoes on the ceiling of Rome's Sistine Chapel.
Enrico, I need 17 draftsmen, only the best. Send out messengers to Naples, Verona, Milan, and Venice, even Sicily, if that's what it takes. Here's my preliminary sketch. Set up a meeting so they can divide up the chapel ceiling, and if anyone creates problems, get rid of them. I want to make some opening comments at the meeting, get clear with them on how I expect this to come out. Giuseppe, check into scaffolding. We're going to need a lot. Let's say, next Tuesday? Get back with me with several estimates on that. Luigi, find out from the Vatican's architect or mason or whoever if there's anything we need to know about the building. And then get as many different colors of paint as there are on both sides of the Mediterranean. 500 gallons of each. Marino, set up a meeting with Enrico, Giuseppe, and Luigi to talk budget. Here are the numbers from the cardinals, and they say that His Holiness doesn't want us going over. That won't be a problem, I know, but I expect us to come under by about 5 silver ducats on the gold piece. And Enrico, get me 3 or 4 assistants. I need to get down there and have a look at the place tomorrow before I head up to Florence to look at a cathedral up there. I'll also want to start looking at models for the angels early next week. And you know what I like.
If Michelangelo had been a D, would the finished ceiling have been a work of art? Well, maybe, and maybe not. But for sure, the job would have been done competently, come in under budget, and on time. Now, what excites D's? Action. Because they feel so strongly about winning and overcoming obstacles, they're not afraid to challenge the people or the rules which seem to stand in their way. They're often highly territorial. Control and endurance are their favorite negotiating tools, and one-upmanship can be a lifelong hobby. Sometimes they're more interested in meeting their goals than they are in pleasing people. A D's greatest asset? They can out-accomplish any other style. D's are the people who are often enviously described this way. He makes things happen, or she definitely gets things done. These people can move mountains. Others are in awe of their vitality, their decisiveness, and their ability to quickly figure out what needs to be done and then do it. They're able to focus intently and are very task-oriented. These truly enjoy change, and compared to the other types, they're the most likely to initiate it. They're not afraid of risk. They work quickly and impressively by themselves, juggling multiple tasks. They love to work hard. They often thrive on crises and controversies. They like to display their killer instinct and beat long odds. If a project is group-oriented, D's are comfortable delegating, but only if those below them can produce results, not just produce talk. Their greatest failing, they can't stand weakness. D's are frequently frustrated when others aren't as able or motivated as they are, and they're not good at hiding that frustration. So they may look at or speak to non-D's in a way that suggests that they're dummies. D's can benefit from gentle reminders to laugh at themselves or to slow down and take time to smell the flowers. But even if they heed that advice, their competitiveness runs so deep that they may return and say to others, "I smelled 12 flowers today. How many did you smell?" Their greatest fear? Being considered soft. D's like to deal quickly with practical problems. D's see themselves on a logical road toward corporate advancement. In fact, they can envision themselves rising to become el numero uno, the best, or maybe even the best ever. It's not a matter of if the D will take over, but when. The brassy D's may push you around as much as you will allow them to push you around. And even at a round table, they leave little doubt in your mind who sits at its head. They're very much into efficiency and into gadgets that promote efficiency. Our next DISC style is the I style. The I's motto is, let me entertain you. If D's are an endless quest for new peaks, I's are always in search of a good time and a good audience. I's tend to be chatty, expressive, fun-loving optimists. They like to ride the crest of ideas, causes, or projects that come like waves, one after another. Each wave may not last long, but it could be a great ride, especially if the beachgoers cheer. I's love people and thrive on being where the action is. They're long on ideas and sometimes short on follow-through. I's tend to lead by dealing with others in an upbeat way. They're fast-paced, energetic, and outgoing. The I's innate belief is, if I can show you that I like you, you'll follow me. They may do well in public relations or as salespeople, entertainers, or even a cruise ship social director. The key to the good life for I's is building a network of friends and admirers who will appreciate their flair for fun and creativity. Now, if Michelangelo had been an I, here's how he probably would have gone about his famous paintings.
Enrico, come in. Have a glass of wine. Hey, it's good stuff from the same vineyard where the Vatican gets most of theirs. Don't ever accuse me of not having connections. It turns out the vineyard owner is my neighbor's cousin's wife's uncle, and he happened to be visiting, and we got to talking. One thing led to another, and he took some of my sketches over to the Vatican. They were nothing. A couple of things I had lying around the studio, pieces I used to wipe up spilled paint. Luigi, hey, come in, get a glass. I'm telling Rico about the new commission. They want me to paint the ceiling of this new chapel. It's going to be fun. Oh, we're going to need a lot of people up there. This is a chance to pay back all the favors everyone's done for me over the years. So remind me, I have to send a messenger over to see if Paolo and Bobo are working on anything right now. Ah, an old Benito! Oh, yeah, maybe he'll bring along his lute and a few of those dancers he had at his villa after the last Senate elections. The cardinal or bishop or whoever it was, they say they want something religious, sort of heavenly and reverent, but also pretty. So I figure if we get enough decent artists together, we're bound to come up with something. Angels, harps, clouds, the usual. Now, are you guys busy next Saturday? Oh, wait. That's the big chariot race. No, make it the following Saturday. No, my weekend at Capri, no. Okay, Saturday after that. Okay, everyone come over to my place. We'll throw down some canvas, get out some brushes, eat, drink, make a few sketches. Hey, maybe His Holiness would stop in to have a look. Although, if what I've heard is true about what's going on behind those big white walls, he might be too busy. This is some story. Marino, come in here. You'll want to hear this too. But you gentlemen did not hear it here.
As an eye, old Michelangelo's work would show flair and style. He would have a great time and probably even make some new friends by telling stories and showing off the sections he just completed. When it's all done, he'd throw a huge celebration and sell postcards of the finished ceiling. Would the painting be a masterpiece? Well, perhaps in the conception, if not in the execution. But in either event, the Vatican still would be talking about what a great guy that Michelangelo was. Now, what excites eyes? Tossing around ideas. More than any of the other three styles, eyes seek admiration and acceptance. They also want to make work fun. The greatest asset of eyes? They're fun to be around. Eyes are enthusiastic, playful, and persuasive. They show their feelings openly and frequently. They know no strangers. Eyes will brainstorm with virtually anyone they meet. They're very expressive, and they sometimes say too much and to the wrong people. Highly intuitive, they come up with lots of ideas, some practical, some not. They judge those ideas by whether they feel right. Then they seek results by persuading others to get on the bandwagon. Their greatest failing? Being erratic. Eyes sometimes display a very short attention span, especially when they're stressed out. They tend to speak before thinking. In fact, their thoughts can be like a gumball. They simply fall to their tongue and roll out. They love ideas but hate the routine of putting them into practice. So they often start projects and then look to someone else to finish them. Or they'll get so many projects started at once that they face an impossible deluge of deadlines. Their greatest fear? Not being liked. Not as task-oriented as D's, eyes crave approval more than achievement. So they're much more emotional and people-focused in their decision-making. The eye also is the most spontaneous of the styles. At their best, there's a childlike quality to their impulsivity. I see themselves as big-picture people and thus prefer to avoid lots of specifics. Deep down, the eye wants companionship and recognition from those companions. Our third style is the S style. For the S, it's not whether you win or lose, it's how many friends you have. They're friendly and personable, and they operate at a slow, steady pace and seldom show emotional peaks and valleys. They're easygoing people and comfortable in the role of a teacher, a counselor, a clergyman, and in customer service roles. The key to the good life for them is being a long-time member of an ongoing team which proceeds slowly and methodically. Now, if Michelangelo had been an S style, here's how he probably would have gone about his work in the Sistine Chapel.
Enrico, I have some very good news. I know things haven't been going so well with you and Sophia. I pay you what I can, but unfortunately my business goes up and down. Oh, you understand, don't you? But things are looking up. One of the cardinals from the Vatican just left. A very nice man. They all seem to be so nice, warm. Well, sincere, that's the word. Anyway, His Holiness has chosen me for that new chapel ceiling. Us, I mean. Our team. Isn't that wonderful? It's going to be an amazing project. Artists for once working side by side with a shared vision instead of everyone in his own studio. We'll have to find a few talented artists that can truly understand what the Vatican has in mind. The Cardinal and I had a long talk about what the work should look like. It's truly magnificent. We've been asked to create a work of art reflecting both the majesty of God and the greatness of the Church. It'll be hard, but I have no doubt that we'll come through. The best part is how truly inspirational it's going to be. Just talking to the Cardinal, sharing ideas and concepts and images was indescribable. I have another meeting set up for Friday when I'll present some preliminary sketches to a panel of several Cardinals. Enrico, I want these sketches to be perfect. I want you to work on them with me. I know they came to me, but I'd feel better with your input. Would you mind staying late? I hate to ask, but it means so much. Of course, I'll pay you for it once they get me in advance or before if you need it. You know that all you have to do is ask. So let me get out some materials. No, sit. And we'll get started.
If Michelangelo had been an S, would the ceiling be a work of art for the ages? Possibly. Some critics might say it lacked panache, but others would laud it for being done earnestly, methodically, and thoroughly. And members of the team would swear it was the most fulfilling experience of their lives. What excites S's? Productive routine. More than any of the other three styles, S's yearn for tranquility and stability. They have already made their life's one big decision: to try to avoid making many big decisions. They prefer to walk solidly down the middle of the road. S's are pleasant cooperative team players. They have a strong need to belong. You're likely to see lots of family or work-related photos on their desk. S's make changes slowly and only after much thought about the effect on others. Being good listeners, S's always find time for friends. Being dependable employees, they quietly do what they're told, even if they disagree. They pride themselves on being realistic. One S I know still plays tennis with the boss who fired him. Rocking the boat or aggressive behavior of any kind is a turnoff. But S's probably won't articulate that either because they're so mild-mannered. Their greatest strength? They're easy to get along with. S's have a relaxed disposition. They accept people as they are. They care deeply about feelings. But not being as assertive as the I or the D, the S is less likely to speak about those feelings. S's are steady and competent employees. They're not flashy. They're much better at detail and follow-through than I's and much more tolerable than the D's. In fact, they often get promoted because they have so few enemies. The S is inherently modest. Unlike the I or the D, the S views actions as speaking louder than words. Be ready is their catchphrase, and proven procedures are their gospel. Their greatest failing? Timidity. S's are in love with routine. Because they're often initially reluctant about new projects or change in general, they must be convinced that the opportunity outweighs the risk. They detest conflict. They're easy marks for door-to-door solicitors or bosses seeking volunteers for undesirable duty. They tend to come across as more unassertive and sensitive, and they may go along with others even if they don't agree. Or they may actually settle for present conditions, even if change is clearly needed. In fact, their greatest fear is change. S's like stable relationships, which don't put anyone on the spot, especially themselves. So they often avoid giving direct commands. Instead, they may veil their suggestions or orders in anecdotes or illustrations. While the I will chat with anyone within earshot, the S likes to deal with a close group of confidants. If the need for change is finally proven, S's want to see a plan before they'll start. But once committed, the S is like a bulldog. More than any of the other three types, they persist no matter what. Our fourth and last DISC style is the C style. The C's motto is, I'd rather be right than quick. C's probably like doing term papers in school. They're serious, analytical people with long-range goals. They cherish efficiency. They love logic. They adore accuracy. C's are the most cerebral of the four types. Like the D's, they generally prefer tasks over people. But unlike the D's, C's are patient, cautious, and thorough, sometimes to a fault. Thriving on details and discipline, C's want clearly defined priorities and a known pace. They're natural as architects, engineers, computer programmers, CPAs. The key to a good life for them is making careful progress. Now, if Michelangelo had been a C, here's how he would have probably gone about painting his famous frescoes on the ceiling of Rome's Sistine Chapel.
Enrico, I need to talk to you for a minute, please. I have just received a large commission from the Vatican. Now, please, don't say anything. I don't need any congratulations. I need to get started right away. Now, I expect to be deeply involved in this for quite a while, so I won't be taking any other orders.
If anyone comes by with a project, take their name and address and tell them they will hear from me within 3 months. Well, that's all. Thank you. The Sistine Chapel, originally built in 1473. Large vaulted ceiling. His Holiness specifically wants certain Old Testament scenes. I will need, 1, the overall measurements, 2, the angles of inclination, 3, the overall surface area, 4, the number of scenes to be depicted. I will have to find out when the chapel is in use to schedule my work around it, in the quiet, empty times. I might begin on one side with the creation and work my way clockwise toward the center with the flood, the exodus, and so on. Or I might divide the surface area into a discrete number of panels and assign a theme to each. The question is, do I want to follow in the stylistic traditions of the classical fresco masters or branch off into a new direction? This is an opportunity to establish new possibilities and standards in the art. It's a form that has hardly been explored. Diagrams. I will come up with some diagrams and then consult with those cardinals at the Vatican who have expertise in this field. Each segment of the work must stand alone, as well as integrating into the whole. Well, I'd better start rereading. Enrico, could you please bring me my Bible?
Michelangelo, as a C, would probably begin the project largely by himself. He really wouldn't mind that he must spend 4 years alone on his back, 70 feet up in the air. That hardship would be more than made up for by the fact that his project would be perfect. Would it be a masterpiece? Quite possibly. At least, that's what the C would aspire to. He wouldn't expect the job to be fun, but he'd like to think that his work might be hailed for centuries as a marvel of skill, taste, and self-determination. Now, what excites C's? Reason. The fact-oriented C's pride themselves on being meticulous. They like having correct procedures in place. C's try to avoid embarrassment by controlling themselves and their environment. Private and proper in their personal relations, they keep their distance from huggers and touchers. Their greatest asset? High-quality work. They're accurate, dependable, and independent. Their discipline and attention to detail can make them prodigious workers. The C is thorough and well-organized. In fact, organization is almost as vital to them as oxygen. One C I know types out pre-addressed labels to take on vacations so that she can more efficiently mail postcards to her friends. C's study problems intently. They're good people to have on committees because they'll ask the question that nobody else thinks of, like, isn't that the same weekend as Memorial Day? Their follow-through is excellent, though a bit standoffish. They're very close to their few key friends. Their greatest failing? Being too critical. They can be nitpicking perfectionists. Paralysis by overanalysis can result, especially under pressure. Few, including themselves, meet the C's high standards. Naturally conservative, they also can be overly frugal, fretting over every penny or each unrecycled soda can. Their sense of organization can become compulsive, laying out clothes well in advance, alphabetizing items in the stockroom, or making lists of everything, including lists of their lists. Their greatest fear? Irrationality. C's want clarity and order. They must finish tasks on time or before and without mistakes. One of their greatest irritations is disorganized, illogical people. Like the S, the C is basically introverted and seeks answers by turning inward. So they often prefer to work with those who promote calmness and thoroughness. Once they're ready to decide an issue, human emotions are not as important as weighing all the factors and making the logical, rational, and most correct decision. They can be a one-person think tank to whom no problem is too small to ponder. They want to amass lots of facts before giving their opinion. So they're somewhat guarded, typically sharing information only on a need-to-know basis and only then when they're sure it won't come back to bite them. They can be hard to budge when they feel that they've mastered all the facts or thought out something through its bedrock conclusion, and they will make a decision, but only after having determined the specific risks, margins for error, and fallback positions. But having decided, they like nothing more than to be praised for their thoroughness. After this introduction to the four behavioral styles, you probably know which one is most like you. That's important. Did you recognize other people you know? Did you recognize other types who tend to rub you the wrong way? Did you recognize other types whom you respect and like, even though they differ from your style? Hold those thoughts, because when we continue, we're going to explore which of the DISC styles get along best and worst in personal or social settings, and which of the DISC styles get along best or worst in work or task settings.